Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging with you here
until 12 o'clock on a... It's a brisk day. It's really cold.
I thought you were going to say what day of the week is it.
No, it's a really cold Wednesday morning.
Yeah, the temperature just not very nice this morning.
It's not getting better. It's just staying cold.
I left my house at 4:30 this morning. Mm-hmm. And it was -6. I was like, all right, I'm awake. Thank you for that, nature. That's super cool. Get here and it goes to -3. And I'm like, all right, it's better.
Right.
Like, warmed up pretty quick. Hour and a half later, I look at my phone again, and it's -6 again. And I'm like, what? What happened?
I'm having the problem, so I don't get here as early as you do. My problem is that my car screams when I open up the doors when it's cold. I mean, opening up the back door, because I'll throw my, you know, my backpack in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've got a two-hour lunch break, so I'll throw my Kindle back there, stuff like that. I open up the back door. It's like I'm assaulting my car. It just screeches. I'm like, that's going to fall off. Something's going to break.
You got to put some WD-40 in there.
It's the worst. And it's only when it's really cold. Like, yeah, every other time, it's fine. I don't open up the door a ton, but, you know, most days I'll open it once or twice to throw everything in there.
Yeah. It's just the cold is just
today. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Like, you're immediately screaming. I'm not going to. We'll just throw it in the passenger seat. Sorry I disturbed you. It's so cold.
For those wondering, right, and this is all based off my phone too. This is no like scientific thermometer we have outside or something like that. It is now 3. We are above zero, everybody. Congratulations. We did it.
Sun's out and we're at 3 degrees.
We made it.
Incredible.
It still feels like it's -1.
Still feels like it's -1.
Super cool. Love it.
Golly.
Don't you just love living here?
You said you love the winter.
No,
wait a second.
I do. I'm being sarcastic here. I very much enjoy this.
Say, I'm the one that like every time like November rolls around, I'm like, oh good. My favorite time.
I will say though, I draw the line when it starts to hurt your face if it's outside. That's when I'm like, okay, this is too much winter. Like,
this is too much winter.
Dial it back to like the 15 is like as low as I'll go. 15 is good. Like that's like cool.
Speaking of weather, Kansas City currently just off my phone. Sunday, cloudy, 33 degrees. Not bad. It's good football weather. It's good football weather.
You know what else happened? It snowed in New Orleans.
Is that a sign?
Is that a sign? It snowed in New Orleans, Zach. I mean, where else does it snow all the time?
All right. It also snows in Kansas City.
Stop.
So
don't do that
great.
To me. It snows more here.
Snows in Minnesota, too, and they just got whooped on in the first round.
Okay, fine. I'm trying to be optimistic here, and here you are just ruining my vibe.
I'm optimistic. Jumping through kind of like last game against Baltimore and then, you know, Houston and Kansas City, the last Kansas City game, week 11. I was confident Sunday night when the Bills had won, and it was like, all right, it's Kansas City again. It's you know, however many matchups in a row this is going to be where you know, they're playing. I like this matchup a lot. We're going to dive a little bit more into it. Aaron Quinn of Cover One is going to join us at 11. Sal Capaccio at 11:30 as well. It's a fun matchup, I think, as well, because these two teams play so similarly. You know, these two teams went from the high-flying, they're just going to throw all over the yard. You just don't know what to do. You don't know how to stop them. They've got wizards at quarterbacks. They still have them. But now they're playing more ball control. They don't turn the ball over. They're kind of boring a little bit. Like they still have the splash plays. Look at, you know, Mahomes running around, falling, throwing it to a wide open Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Josh, against Denver, running around on fourth down, firing it across his body to Ty Johnson on fourth down. Like, they've still got the splash plays, but they're so much more methodical now. They're so much more deliberate in every single thing they do, even if it kind of frustrates you, whether it be, you know, continuing the run game, playing zone coverage, whatever. And it's just, I think this is a wonderful matchup because it really does feel like the two titans of the AFC, the two teams that have sort of figured out the NFL going after each other. The Chiefs just did it first. The Chiefs were ahead of the Bills in terms of their quote-unquote rebuild. It was never really a rebuild. They were making the playoffs with Alex Smith. They drafted Mahomes. Here we go. But they had the Hall of Fame talent beforehand, so they picked up titles first, inarguably. But now it feels like the Bills might be entering that stage. If they can get through this matchup on Sunday, and I can't wait. These two teams don't turn the ball over. They don't do any of that stuff. They make you screw up. We've talked about it. Every team that advanced in the divisional round was outgained in yards. Every team that had more total yards was 0-4. The difference for three of those four teams? Won the turnover battle. Kansas City didn't force a single turnover against Houston. They still won 23-14.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable what they're able to do. It's not just the penalties. It is that other teams make mistakes against them. They just do. Kymie Fairburn misses a field goal and an extra point. Houston special teams. The first kickoff of the game, right down the field. The Chiefs go 3-and-out. They're already in field goal range. They're up 3-0.
Yeah.
Every team makes mistakes against them, kind of except the Bills. Week 11, the Bills just didn't make any mistakes. There was a turnover for the Bills, but the Bills forced two on them. Yeah. And ultimately, they win by 9.
Well, and that right again there is like it's winning the turnover battle. Like that has kind of proven this season for, if you look at any winning team, not just the Bills, but any winning team, winning the turnover battle this year more than any other, I think, has really been an indication of how that game is going to go. If you win the turnover battle, you're probably going to win it. And that's kind of the case for most situations, but it feels more evident this year. And I don't really know why that is, but it feels like that's just kind of how you know who's going to win the game. And I think also, like, going back to your point about the way these two teams play now, like, because they play very similar styles, even though it seems like, you know, the Bills had this whole everybody eats mantra, the Chiefs kind of have that too. I mean, yes, they throw to Travis Kelce primarily, but they also have a resurgence from Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
For whatever reason.
Worthy's doing work.
Worthy. They have DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. They have now Hollywood Brown is back.
Like Noah Gray, they're back.
Noah Gray. Yep. They have all these different guys that they trust with the ball. And you could, if you don't believe me, you can listen this morning. Carrington Harrison was on with Jeremy and Joe. He said the same thing. There's like 5, 6, 7 guys that they all trust in the offense to go and do what they need to do. And if you look at the Bills, that's the same thing.
They're such similar teams.
It's built the exact same way. Every single time they face each other, they've both been built the same way. Sure, there's been injuries and things in previous matchups, like last year especially with the Bills. They were down to A.J. Klein and rookie Dorian Williams. Mm-hmm. But when you look at their rosters on paper for every single one of these playoff matchups, they're built very, very similarly. And I think what's different now is, yes, you can still make those crazy plays. Yes, you still believe in those quarterbacks to do what they do on a consistent basis. But it's like you said, they don't have to do that. But that threat is still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like before it was, well, we have to protect from Allen throwing the ball and Allen running the ball. Like, okay, that's two things. Let's handle those two things. That's a lot, but we can try to do it. Now it's, we don't know what's game plan for because Allen can do all those things, but he's not doing them. So let's plan for everything else. And oh crap, there he goes. He's running again.
Great. And then you know, like James Cook, Ty Johnson, and Ray Davis are getting the ball running, or getting the ball going. Mm-hmm. The offensive line for the Bills has never been better.
If you could give out an MVP to a position, it would be the Bills' offensive line. Yeah. I mean, they have been the biggest reason why this rushing game for the Bills has kind of found legs. Out of nowhere, like the Bills have had good running games in the past few years, but it's never been the star of the show like it has been this past month or so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the past month, obviously, like Allen is still the forefront of the team, but when you think of like what's the next best offensive output, it's James Cook, and it's honestly just the trio of them, but James Cook kind of takes precedence because he's RB1.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so interesting to see how quickly this running game has turned around this season. And kind of just come to life and been such a big part of their offense, where it kind of hasn't been in recent years, especially with the guys they have in there. And that's no disrespect to the three guys they have in there, but when you think of like the best rushing teams in the NFL, you think of who has Christian McCaffrey, who has Derrick Henry, who has Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
But the Bills have been the most effective with their kind of run-by-committee thing here, and I think that's something that we've never seen in a matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs before. Every other matchup, it's been, okay, let's see if Allen can outgun Mahomes, and for most of them, he has been able to, or he's been able to at least keep pace. But now you add in the new element of, if this running game can keep going, what is that going to make the Chiefs do? Are the Chiefs going to be able to do the same things they've always done? Is that going to change how they attack the Bills?
And then you even look at that, too, like it's going to change up how we attack the Bill or how the Chiefs will attack the Bills. Look at the injuries for both these teams as well in their Week 11 matchup. We talked a lot about it with Bills, Ravens, Week 4. You know, Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, all out. And it was a big storyline, rightfully so. You look at the Chiefs game and who was missing for the Bills, it's another run of like, okay, like there are key guys. One guy who did play, Amari Cooper, has a cast on his hand due to his wrist injury. Then the rest of the guys that are missing, you're looking at Matt Milano still out. Spencer Brown, who—
Forgot about that.
Who is, he may not be an all-pro right tackle. He's an elite right tackle.
He's closing in on all-pro.
Next year is going to be a fun year for him, I think.
Yeah.
I think accolades-wise, especially the Bills' offensive line the last month or so has now become like a unit that it seems like everyone in the media that studies film talks about how elite they are. I think he's going to have a nice season next year. Kincaid, out. Keon Coleman, out. And then we mentioned Amari Cooper is playing with a cast on his wrist.
Yeah, so he can't really like full go sort of thing.
It's just they had a number of injuries in key spots, and they still put up 30 on a defense in the Kansas City Chiefs that didn't let up 30 all but once in 2 years.
Yeah. By the way, don't forget, Spencer Brown signed a new contract at the beginning of the season for 4 years. So he's locked up for 4 more years, which—
It's such a bargain.
It's so good.
Such a bargain.
Such a good move that, in hindsight, obviously, like, you know, I'm glad it worked out the way it did because that was a big-time deal.
Yep. The Chiefs also had themselves a number of injuries as well. Charles Menihue is really one that I think about a lot, that you know he was not there for them. But, again, the Bills didn't have Spencer Brown. Chris Jones was left off the stat sheet in terms of sacks. I think he had, like, 7 quarterback hurries, though, so he was still very much active.
But I think that's an important thing to note, too, because even with Spencer Brown out, Chris Jones still did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a key victory for that offensive line when they were hurt. And now if you can keep that going, it's kind of going to show you what's coming for the Chiefs defensive line.
Yeah.
I really think that as much as Chris Jones is that X factor, I think he can be easily shut down once again, especially with a healthy offensive line.
Got the healthy offensive line. It's just I think really, and we're talking Sal at 11:30, it really is just to see where some of these injuries are at. Mm-hmm. Benford, Milano question mark. We actually don't really know.
Yeah, that one's super weird. Like,
and then Rapp, who is day-to-day, we knew that on Monday that he was going to be day-to-day. If he's like limited this afternoon in a walkthrough, I think that's a really good sign for him.
Yeah.
Benford, concussion protocol, you have no idea how that's going to go. Every player is different. It doesn't even really matter on the hit. Every player is just different. But right now, without knowing anything there, I said it yesterday, I'm going to keep saying it, you know, probably the rest of this week until I am proven otherwise. I'm so confident for this matchup because I think they got through the team they did not match up well against. And they played them incredibly well. They forced them into mistakes. Sure, did a little luck play into it? Sure. But you kind of make your own luck. You force them into a bad interception, a bad fumble. You know, sure, Mark Andrews catches that, you know, 2-point conversion. You got 1:30 and 2 timeouts to go score a field goal to win the game as time expires. They're in such a good spot. They're playing good football. And to me, it kind of feels like one of those things, Josh, where, look, I think eventually a team will three-peat a Super Bowl. Maybe not in our lifetimes, but as long as the NFL's going, I imagine it will some point happen because it's happened in, what, every other sport? I think at some point it has.
I don't know. When did it happen in the MLB? Like way back.
I mean, the Yankees.
Like when was like, but yeah, but that was when players were barely wearing baseball gloves. Like,
it's fair.
Like, but you also, I mean, let's think. NBA, yes.
Mm-hmm.
NHL, yes. Yeah, I mean, out of the four majors, like, it's the only one that doesn't have one.
Yeah. So I think eventually it'll happen.
Yeah. But you even have it in, like, the Premier League, which has a lot of parity, too. Like, there's leagues around the world that have tons of parity, and you still have dynasties establishing. Mm-hmm. Like that's the one thing that's, I think, always interesting about the NFL. And now if we can get to the point where it's kind of, you know, different Super Bowl teams every year rather than just seeing the Chiefs again and again and again, that would be great. But that's kind of the best thing about the NFL is you always get a different winner, or at least, you know,
it feels like it.
Yeah, you usually do anyway.
But it's just they don't feel the same. Yes, this is actually the most wins they've had in a regular season under Andy Reid with 15.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel the same. It feels like the Bills do have their number. And to be perfectly honest, they are due to beat them in the playoffs.
Right.
They beat them enough in the regular season. You've handled them. You know you can handle Arrowhead. We talked about that yesterday where the last three games they played at Arrowhead, not 13 seconds, they've won. Because they played in Arrowhead twice in 2021. They won in the regular season. They lost in the playoffs. So it's not like that stadium, that crowd, has got your number where it's like, you got to get them at high mark. No, it's actually been quite the opposite. It's just as long as they're not injured to hell, as long as we don't get news today that Matt Milano, you know, tore his pec, he's out for the playoffs, Christian Benford, you know, concussion doesn't go anywhere, I think they'll be fine. And you look at that matchup as well in week 11, we talk a lot about Travis Kelce and stopping him. They did a really good job. 4 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards. That was his stat line in week 11. Now, sure, they've added Hopkins. They've got Hollywood Brown. Worthy's kind of come along, so there might be a little bit of a difference. Houston played him really well.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for a missed field goal and a missed extra point, it would have been closer on the scoreboard. I mean, that's 4 points that you're missing off that scoreboard. Makes it a lot different of a game when you look at it from a box score perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And even when you're watching the game itself, it was still like very much so, hey, the Texans are kind of threatening here. Like it's not all that far apart. These two teams were very close together still. So it's something where, like you said, the Bills do feel like they have their number when it comes to the Chiefs. But I feel like that number is different now, right? Like every year it's been changing and to be fair, both teams have changed every single year. They've changed with each other, kind of.
The like, Tyreek Hill trade, the Stephon Diggs trade. The Bills have
They've just been a little bit behind each other. But now it feels like they're basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, they're kind of matched up in the whole everybody eats concept. It's just not as talked about in Kansas City. It's not as big of a deal. It's not as much of a focus point. But if you look at their two defenses, they both at one point had a impressive or, you know, top or whatever you want, like a top cornerback, Tyrann Mathieu and Tre'Davious White. It's kind of both gone by the wayside now, obviously, as they've aged.
And now it's McDuffie and Benford.
Yeah. And then they've also both had good defensive lines the whole time with Chris Jones, Ed Oliver, even, you know, Von Miller at certain points and Charles Omenihu. Like there's very clear parallels every single year between these two teams. I think that there's a difference in the way the Bills are playing this year, even though they have the same type of personnel. The way the Bills have been playing the past month, I think, gives them the edge this weekend. Like I said before, with that running game, I really think that adds a different spin than it has in years past. Because before, like I said, it's just been Allen and Mahomes duking it out. Now you kind of put the ball in other people's hands and really give them the chance to show the Chiefs, this is a completely different team. You have no idea what to do.
Yeah, and when you do look at these two offenses, that I think is the big difference. The Chiefs don't really have a second option past Mahomes working magic. They really don't.
Their run game, but
he's part of the receiving game, or he's part of the passing game.
Oh, you're
game.
Part of the magic. Okay, I see what you're saying.
They don't have really a run game going.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt is kind of better than Isaiah Pacheco. Neither of them necessarily are really all that good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills, for a drive, couldn't just go to the run game. I mean, going against the third best run rush defense in the playoffs and the first best rush defense in the playoffs, they were able to run the ball. They had full on drives where they just decided, nope, that's what we're going to do and we're going to score.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs don't have that option. And I think that might be a key to this, where I think the strategy is going to be somewhat similar in this aspect to the Baltimore game, which is just limit their possessions.
Yeah.
You know, keep the ball as long as you can. It's not going to be the Denver game, where you had like 45 minutes of possession. It's not going to be that. But I think that's still going to be the game plan of just limit possessions, limit mistakes, get out of here. just get out of here with a win. It's not going to be flashy. It's not going to be sexy. But I think that is the right thing to do in these matchups.
At this point, though, who cares what the win looks like?
I don't.
Like, you could win the game 17-10, and I'd be over the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I don't care if you don't score more than 20 points. If you win the game and have more points than the other team at the end of the game, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at with this rivalry, I guess, if you want to call it that. Because not that I don't like calling it a rivalry, but it's just like...
It totally is.
Well,
it's basically a divisional rivalry at this
right,
point.
But rivalries, sure, you have teams going back and forth winning the other game, but you never have the one team winning more of the important games. Because that's the thing that it feels like, is like, it's always the Bills are winning the regular season, but the Chiefs win the more important one. That's like, and I, it does ignite the rivalry more, but that's where I'm like, it's not a rivalry because you're losing, you're not winning the important game much.
For me, it's totally there. I think it's there. Only that's the frustrating part, is that they're winning the more important ones, but the Bills are winning games still. It's not like it's six in a row, seven.
It's not
in
like
row the,
it's not like the Patriots rivalry where it's like we just hate you because you're beating us,
or like currently the Dolphins one where like we hate each other, but like Dolphins maybe win a game before you talk smack,
win
a game.
But that's kind of how it's starting to feel when it comes to the playoff part of it, because that's the point that you've gotten to every single year, except for the Bengals year, obviously. But every year it's gotten to that point, and it's just falling flat. And I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer when I say that, because it's I do feel like it's very different this year. I feel like the way they're constructed and the way they've been playing and game planning is so much different this year. But I really just need to see it. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I just need to see it happen, and then I will kind of change
it. It was sort of the same in week 11. You know, that was my feeling, where I had stopped being as excited for the regular season matchup because you kind of anticipated they were going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the playoff matchup. Now, we didn't know that the Bills Chiefs were definitively going to play each other in the playoffs. The Chiefs weren't playing great football. There was a feeling for a few weeks there. I know I was definitely on that, where it was like, yeah, whoever they're playing, divisional round, wild card round, doesn't matter. They're losing. Like, that, they look like the 2020 Steelers and some of those other bad great teams that we were all talking about. It didn't happen, and they are playing each other. And now it feels like, Ross Tucker was on with Shelby the Bulldog yesterday, and it feels like it's time. It's time for you to finally get over the hump. Steve Young in 94 with the 49ers finally did it. Peyton Manning in 06 with the Colts finally did it. It's time. They are playing incredibly efficient and well-executed football. It's time. And they're playing a team in the Chiefs that, while yes, has kind of been your boogeyman, is not playing particularly good football. We went through the stats with Houston. They ultimately won the game, but not only were they outgained, everyone in the divisional round that lost was outgained. Everyone in the divisional round that won was outgained. But it was more, you didn't even win the turnover battle. You didn't even win the third down battle, Josh. Let me get those numbers for you here, because that's maybe the most surprising thing going back to that Week 11 matchup. That was something that we talked about a lot, how good the Chiefs were at converting on third downs. They were close to, I think, 50%, and they were first in the league. They've ultimately finished second in the league. You look at the stats, though, for this, they went 4 of 11 on third down against Houston. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you look at that Houston game and go, how did they win it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's maybe the most important thing for me. And ultimately, kind of a topic we'll kind of throw around there today. We tweeted it out as well. The Bills' defense, and you can maybe argue even the Bills this year, have really lived off of turnovers. It makes me uncomfortable because they're not, quote-unquote, sustainable. They don't carry over from year to year. And so it does make me a little uncomfortable. But the Bills have been able to force teams into turnovers. But in this matchup with the Chiefs, do they need to force turnovers to win these games, to win this matchup? I don't think so. I don't think the Bills do need to do that. I think they can, and I think they'll at least get one. They've seemingly just been able to put themselves in position to do so. But when I look at the Bills to the Chiefs, the Bills are playing better football right now. They're beating better opponents. Houston limped into the playoffs and was battling you like hell. Denver, you could argue, kind of limped in the playoffs. The Bills blew them out.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, arguably playing the best football of anybody and was not turning the ball over. You forced three turnovers, you beat them. You got rid of maybe the best team in the playoffs. They are playing at such a high level right now, top to bottom. I don't think they need turnovers to win this game. I do think they'll potentially get one or two, but I don't think they need them. I just don't. Not with the way they're playing and not with the way the Chiefs are playing. I can't wait. 803-0550, the number to call. Mark, we'll get to your call after a quick timeout. at 11 o'clock. Aaron Quinn, Cover One, will join the show, kind of help us dive more into this matchup, what he saw against Baltimore, and, you know, kind of what he has seen so far now with the Chiefs. We'll also be joined by Sal Capaccio at 11:30. The Bills do return to practice today, albeit in a walkthrough, but could give us a little bit of a inclination on what is going on with some of the injured players, Christian Benford, Matt Milano, Taylor Rapp, and potentially others as well. Zach Jones and Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
It's playoff football, right? And it's cold outside, you know, the weather. The field sometimes aren't on just great terms with the footing, and you need to be able to be a physical football team and be able to establish the line of scrimmage. And I'm fortunate for the offensive line that we have, that, you know, the trust that I have in them and our backs understanding, and it always points to the offensive line, but the wide receivers and the tight ends that we have in the running game that are doing all the selfish work, and it's critical. And again, whether it works or not, it's the confidence and the trust in them that they're out there doing it and they're feeling it and they're understanding how the blocks are approaching it, and that communication, that trust in them. Like, we've gotten to this point because of our guys and the trust that we have in them, and that can't change.
Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady. I liked what he said there at the start, too, that maybe gets lost a little bit because a lot of us saw it as an advantage for the Bills, especially when Baltimore Ravens special teams coordinator, I'm blanking on the gentleman's name, but was incorrect in saying that they had, or that the Bills have a heated field. They don't. And so the field conditions were not great.
I think Chris Horton.
Chris Horton, thank you. And I think that ultimately did affect the Bills' offense as well, where it was like, you know, we can't really pass as much as we'd like to. You can't really make a lot of cuts.
But
that was an issue.
You did see Lamar Jackson falling down on two sacks. Well, actually, one sack, one fumble.
Yep.
Like, the sack, he fell down, and Greg Rousseau just comes over and taps him. And then the fumble, he kind of like...
It's a bad snap. He has to jump up and get it, but then he sort of...
stumbles and loses the ball. So. Yep.
Field conditions kind of go both ways on that.
But it's just the Bills are used to that. Like, the Bills are used to playing in that, so you didn't really see many mistakes from them, if any.
Some head coaching news in the NFL. Not a hiring, but a coordinator taking himself out of a job. Buccaneers offense coordinator Liam Cohen removing himself from consideration for the Jacksonville Jaguars head coaching position. It seemed like he was like the definitive favorite for the position. He's now going to instead stay in Tampa Bay. Look, Jacksonville, I feel for the fans. Everyone said if you kept Trent Baalke, you would limit what you could get in the head coaching market.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Johnson's gone. Aaron Glenn hasn't even thought of you. I mean, maybe you go Mike McCarthy. I can't imagine they go from Doug Peterson to Mike McCarthy. I don't even think McCarthy would be necessarily a bad hire. He's just not very sexy. But, I mean, this is what it is. And Jordan Schultz tweets this out as well. It's been no secret around the NFL since the season ended. The Jaguars have a hard time attracting a top head coach if they kept Trent Baalke. They suck with him, and here we are.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
But they also the Jaguars did say, if you come in there, if you go in there and you say, hey, let's fire Trent Baalke if I become head coach, they would be like okay with it.
Yeah, Sean Conn even kind of mentioned like if a candidate came in, it was basically like, I need to bring my own guy in.
Yeah, he
would be receptive to it.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
But I think a lot of coaches look at that and go, then why are you keeping him?
What
kind of shop are you running here?
Yeah, that kind of shows like potential issues down the road, and it's just. It is kind of crazy, too, like seeing there's still five head coaching vacancies because Aaron Glenn did, in fact, leave New York.
Yeah, that was a little surprising.
After the Jets were like, hey, we're not letting him leave the building. And he was just like, okay, let me take your private jet back to Detroit.
It was a little he's apparently got a meeting with New Orleans either. I think it's actually been moved to next week due to the weather in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
But that was a little surprising. I expected him to stay in New York and take the job. I really did expect Woody Johnson to be like, no, no. That's our guy, and we'll go on from there.
Well, the Jets did say it's his job if he wants it.
I know, but you let him leave the room.
Yeah.
That's my thing. You let him leave.
I just think it is kind of crazy, though. There's still five spots open. Like, I wonder, though, like, at this point, who goes where? Because Mike McCarthy's still out there. And Joe Brady's technically still out there.
I think McCarthy's going to get a job. I just assumed he was going to go to the Bears because every report was Ben Johnson's going to the Raiders, and then it was like, nope, he's going to the Bears. I mean, that's you know, the Raiders' job. I think once the Ben Johnson stuff cooled down, because he obviously takes on the Bears' job, mm-hmm. you very much quickly see, oh, they've got nothing there. Listening to the Colin Cowherd, John Middlecoff podcast, too, something that's not brought up a lot, you know, because we were all talking about, you know, Brady's selling him a pitch and stuff like that. And, oh, it's tampering. And it is. I don't disagree. Brady doesn't live in Vegas.
Yeah.
He lives in Florida. So whatever his pitch is, cool. I'm still working every day with Mark Davis. I'm not working with you, Tom.
Yeah, it's not
you're
like Tom Brady's
here in
there.
The building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So whatever your pitch is nice. It's great. You're a good salesman. You watched a few episodes of Mad Men. Good for you. But you're not here. So I think that pitch kind of loses its luster like the second you get on the private jet to go home, where you're like, this is what Tom's going to do every day. What the hell?
Yeah.
This is not right.
Right.
So I think that job lost a lot of its luster, I think, immediately, probably for someone like Ben Johnson. He, you know, stays in the division. He knows the division. I also don't think the Bears are a particularly untalented football team. Jacksonville, I would say the same thing. I think the problem, though, is with both Jacksonville and Chicago, it's bad ownership. And the ownership is keeping – with Jacksonville, the ownership is keeping a notoriously bad and very political GM that makes it uncomfortable to work around. And that's where there are. I simply don't understand keeping Trent Baalke. And you almost got to feel bad for Baalke in that sense too, knowing around the NFL, people don't want you in your job.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick though, we want to get to your phone calls here coming up in just a moment. But you know, now looking at this, Liam Cohen felt like the guy that was going to get the job. They're going to have to go on a plan B, maybe even C. How quick before they get to Joe Brady and offering him a contract? Especially,
and that's not
let's
just
say
for
the
Jaguars.
Bills.
That's for any team.
It's for the Raiders. It's for the Saints.
Yeah.
Technically the Jets. I mean, Aaron
and
Lenz,
the Cowboys, too.
Well, the Cowboys are kind of doing their own thing, which is weird.
I know. They're probably going to get Kellen Moore. I mean, that's the other thing, too. How much of this is kind of getting held up because teams are still in the playoffs, right? Like, is anyone out there looking at Cliff Kingsbury still and hoping?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, that is that still have any legs?
There was a hope they could interview him. They're like, oh, damn. All right, you're still playing.
Yeah, right. And then, obviously, like I just said, with Kellen Moore, with the Eagles, they're still in it. So it's like, is there anyone out there still that is getting attention? They just haven't gotten the full attention yet because they're still in the playoffs.
I would have said, I was almost definitive on it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I didn't think Joe Brady was leaving. But with that, with Cohen now taking himself out of the Jaguars job, I'm less so on it. Especially if the Bills were to go on and win the Super Bowl or even just make the Super Bowl, you could argue, Brady, in your first full year, you took Allen to a different level. He took the Bills office to a different level. And he took him to a spot they'd never been.
Yeah. It's also funny. I'm looking at like a list from like right at the beginning of the season of, or maybe it was in the offseason, of guys that could be good head coaches for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now. And
Liam Cohen's
on there. Ben Johnson's on there. It's just kind of funny. Robert Saleh's on there. Like,
yeah.
It is kind of funny, like, seeing how much this has all changed, but also how much is still staying the same. Like,
mm-hmm.
like Arthur Smith is on this list. He's technically still out there, like, as a potential.
Pittsburgh's OC, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like what if...
I mean, if you hired him, I would genuinely discuss.
Yeah.
Like, if you hired him as your head coach to my favorite football team, I would genuinely think about changing allegiances.
Oh, yeah, for sure, obviously. But, again, there are names out there that are very... uninspiring that teams probably will hire. Like, there's guys that are, like, look at Mike McCarthy, right? Like, I understand that everything that went wrong in Dallas wasn't necessarily all on him, but you got to look at that situation, and there's definitely a good chunk of it that's on him, right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously there's like all the questions with Dak, and then Jerry Jones takes a forefront of everything just because of all of his decisions.
Kind of wants to.
Well, that too, but I do look at that whole situation and I say, yeah, but Mike McCarthy was also kind of part of the problem.
I think he's part of the problem. I don't hate McCarthy as much as I maybe used to.
No, but
I think he's a good NFL head coach.
Right.
I don't think he's great. I don't think he's terrible. I think he's solid.
Yeah, he's a little bit above average. But that's
yeah.
like he's like on the bottom of that tier of, like, if you hire him, I will be very upset.
I mean, kind of to a certain extent. He's sort of like the Dak Prescott of coaches.
he's
wildly different personalities. I'm not saying that. But, like,
yeah.
In terms of, like, I mean, yeah, you could win a Super Bowl. Everything's got to go right.
Right. Everything in the world has to go correct. Yeah, right.
Mm. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join the show with us. And let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We start today with Mark on the line. Mark, how are we doing this morning?
I'm freezing, man. I don't know about you guys. My God.
Yeah, dude, right there with you, man.
It is cold.
36 is going to feel like 80 degrees down there.
It's golf weather, baby.
But, the topic of conversation right now, I hope Joe Brady really takes the route of Ben Johnson, only because it's, you know, likely it's going to be his last go-around for head coaching job. And you're Josh Allen's offensive coordinator. I mean, that's – you could be the next Ben Johnson next year. Why leave? But that's not the reason for my call. I wanted to talk about Cole Bishop, and I'm just looking for that standout game. And what a better – there's not a better time than this coming Sunday. Brandon Bean brought him in here because Kincaid said that, you know, he took it to me in practice. I feel like he could he's got the size to hopefully jam Kelce up at the line, and then that helps with the run game. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they have planned. I think either with or without Taylor Rapp, that he could play a factor, and I really hope he does. But I'm happy to listen to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mark, thanks for the call, brother. I want Cole Bishop to work so bad.
Me too.
And the only problem with him has been that Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp both have been like very serviceable. And, mm-hmm. and I don't mean that yeah. negatively. I mean, like, they've both just been pretty darn good safeties.
Yeah.
There's been no reason to throw Bishop in there. Now, if Taylor Rapp can't go, sure, you get there with Bishop. I don't necessarily know if he's got to be like somebody that like shuts down Kelce or anything like that. I like what they have with the linebackers in covering. They have very athletic linebackers. Milano's always done a pretty darn good job on Kelce when he's been able to play and be healthy.
Bernard did a great job on Andrews.
Yep. Dorian Williams as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to see him play. And then, well, the last time that they played the Chiefs, Week 11 without Milano, they held Noah Gray to under 40 yards and they held Kelce under 10 yards.
Yeah, right. Like, I was just about to say that too. Like, if you look at what Bernard and Williams were able to do against Kelce last time out, it was very unlike a – it was not a Kelce game, right? Like, they held him to, what was it, like a catch or two
mm-hmm.
and maybe like 8 yards. So if you can eliminate him, yes, Noah Gray is still an option for them, but I'm much less scared of Noah Gray than I am Travis Kelce. With Cole Bishop, like, you know, kind of sizing him up with Travis Kelce – he's about 50 pounds lighter and 3 inches shorter. So mm-hmm. he is,
it's a matchup nightmare.
I was going to say, is that significantly smaller to you, or does that not matter because maybe Bishop can be more athletic? Right?
It's a little bit of a nightmare, matchup nightmare.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. But at the same time, he kind of goes in the same category as that athletic linebacker. He seems to be, again, this is his rookie year, so it's a little early on in the process, but mm-hmm. Bishop seems to be that more athletic sort of safety that can make plays that you wouldn't expect him to. And that's something that I would look for a few years down the road, maybe not so much in his rookie season.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what we thought about with Dorian Williams last year, and look at him now. It took him a year to kind of get his legs to really showcase that athletic ability.
Yep. Let's take one more call here before our next timeout. Steven on the line. Steven, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. First of all, I wanted to say, boy, it's a balmy 42 degrees here compared to you guys.
Uh-huh. Summer right there.
I grew up in Buffalo, and just looking at the temperature there makes me chill. What I wanted to say about this game coming up, okay, contrasting. Now, you look at this past Sunday, it's obvious the focus of the Bills was they knew they had to have a big game defensively. And the difference was the takeaways, what they were the kings of during the season. They had to stop Henry, which they did, even though he had a great run there in the third quarter and then in the fourth quarter, but they still stopped them in essence. And then, of course, Lamar. Now, with this game coming up, after refer back to the 11th week where the Bills beat the Chiefs by 10 points, 31-21, and, you know, the thing is, they did have a great game defensively because at that point in the season, Mahomes was the most intercepted quarterback in the league, and they picked him off twice, once at the beginning.
Oh, we lost Steven. On that point, though, I like that he brought up, though, that Mahomes was the most picked off quarterback for a good bit of the first half of the year. I mean, that was sort of the story. They haven't turned the ball over since week 11. That was the last time they've turned the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to bring up the idea of, like, do you need turnovers to beat them? Because they haven't done it since you guys last played. Now, maybe you got the secret sauce, you can get them. I don't know. I mean, the Bills have been living off those all year, and it kind of just refused to go away. But you were living off those. And now the Chiefs since then have not turned the ball over. They haven't been playing perfect by any means, but they don't turn the ball over. It's going to be such a fascinating matchup. I can't wait to see Andy Reid versus Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich, Joe Brady versus Spagnuolo. It's going to be an awesome, awesome matchup to see what they can do, because neither of these teams turn the ball over. And arguably the last time they did, I mean, the Bills had a third and 16 like arm punt is one of their turnovers, but one of their last was also week 11. Allen had an interception against Kansas City as well. They do not turn the ball over. And it's so fun to see the chess match that's going to go on between these two teams. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. Coming up in just about 15 minutes, Aaron Quinn of Cover One will join the show, help us break down what he has seen so far in this matchup and where the Bills can maybe exploit this seemingly just insurmountable task that is beating the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Buffalo Sabres got a win last night when a lot of people were asleep. They played the Vancouver Canucks last night, 10 p.m. start time. I did not stay up for it, but they did get a 3-2 win. Yuri Kulik, 3 points last night in one of his recent returns from IR. Was that his second game returning from IR?
Yes.
I think so.
But multi-point game.
Yes.
Love to see it. And he was really good on the faceoffs.
3 points for him, 2 points for Donnelly, the other two goal scorers, J.J. Paterka and Tage Thompson. They're next back in action on Thursday, still out west against Calgary. 18-24-5. The season's over. I mean, I don't want to sound negative. We're talking Bills AFC Championship, but, like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to look at.
Those two franchises could not be further apart.
It is wild, the contrast. I mean, is there any city
not be further apart?
Is there any city that has two teams that are further apart?
Nope. All the Chicago teams are terrible.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of all the bad teams, because, like, and the good ones too. I mean, the Flyers and the Eagles, maybe, but the Flyers aren't that bad.
Yeah.
The Flyers are, like, average right now. Like, they're, like, middle of the standings.
Yep. Well, and also you got to look, too, like, how good one team is and how bad another. I think that's why. Is, like, the Bills are one of the four favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres can't make the playoffs in a league that almost everyone makes the playoffs.
Maybe Dallas, because the Stars are good, but...
Dallas was in the playoffs though last year.
Yeah.
And you could argue Dak got hurt, and that's a big reason why.
Jets and Rangers. Well, actually, the Rangers are bad this year.
The Rangers are bad. That's why I was like, did I miss something where the Rangers got good?
I forgot.
The Knicks.
The Rangers are bad.
The Knicks are like third in the Eastern
Conference.
Yeah, that's
true. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think about. We got to think.
I feel like you can't
too.
Put New York teams in this conversation because there's too many of them.
Unless you're talking about, like, the ones that purely play in New York.
Just not the football teams.
Not the football teams. They don't count. You could talk about them with the Devils, though.
I mean, you could say like you could say Columbus with the Blue Jackets and the Buckeyes.
I'm the Buckeyes.
Yeah,
that's pretty good, actually.
I mean, one of them just won a national championship. You can't get much better than that.
No, that's tough. Yeah, no, I don't think there's a bigger gap between two professional sports teams in the same city.
Panthers, Dolphins. Miami's close to Sunrise, right? How close are they?
I think they're pretty close. But again, I mean, the Dolphins are like an okay team. They're not a disaster.
Yeah, that's fair. They
were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but
they're close to imploding. Don't get me wrong. They're close to imploding. But they're not totally there yet.
They're closing in on it.
They're closing in.
I want that to be it because I would love for the Dolphins to be in this conversation. Oh, yeah. Miami and Sunrise, Florida are like right next to each other.
We'll revisit this next year to see if the Dolphins and the Panthers can be combined into this. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join the show today. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Aaron Quinn of Cover One is going to join the show to talk a little bit on Bills Chiefs, Bills Ravens as well, what he's seen in these matchups. Zach Jones, Josh Mann here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.